Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're thrilled that you're with us tonight. If you're on 95.9 and you're driving on the turnpike or on 95, please be careful. Sit back and listen, but be careful, but keep listening. And if you're in 106.9 in the Treasure Coast and you've already made it home, I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We have a great show tonight. We really do. I have a guest who was here about 5 years ago, and a lot has happened since he was here last time. You know, we don't often think about a trauma center and why a trauma center might or might not be important to us. That is, of course, until we need it. Tonight's guest is the medical director of St. Mary's Trauma Center, which is the highest level rated trauma center that you can be, which is a level one. Dr. Robert Borrego is here. He's been the medical director for 29 years, and he's going to tell us about that which is new at the trauma center and things that we should know about and we shouldn't forget that we have talked about before, but it's no less important. But first, I want to tell everybody, pay attention to the weather, gang. Apparently, there is a tropical storm brewing, or certainly a tropical depression, and we want you all to be safe. So please pay attention to that take whatever precautions you might need. I was away last week. I was in Las Vegas. It was for part of the week in Boise, Idaho for another part of the week. Last week was my 49th anniversary. So I want to say happy anniversary to my wife. I also want to tell you, as I have been doing, about upcoming support groups that we're involved in. We're doing a support group on Parkinson's tomorrow at 11 o'clock at Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute in West Palm Beach. That is run by Melissa Morante. She is running a few of our Parkinson's related support groups at the Palm Beach Neuroscience Institute tomorrow at 11 o'clock. If you have any questions about that, you can give us a call and we'll get you the proper address. And then Tuesday, also tomorrow at 12 o'clock, for family members with loved ones struggling with Alzheimer's and dementia, we have a support group at Barrington Terrace in Boynton Beach. Tino Negri is running that. That is tomorrow at 12 o'clock at Barrington Terrace in Boynton Beach. But you didn't come here to listen to that. You came to listen to my guest, Dr. Robert Borrego, who is, as I said, the medical director of the Level 1 Trauma Center at St. Mary's Hospital. He's been there for 29 years, having completed his medical training first at the University of Tampa before graduating from the University of Florida College of Medicine. He did his internship and residency at Kings County Hospital, for all you New Yorkers, and is a fellowship trained at Jackson Memorial here in Miami Beach. Born in Cuba, he has become very much an in-demand educator and an expert on a variety of traumatic issues, many of which we're going to talk about tonight. So stay tuned because this is a most important show for you. So welcome back, Dr. Borrego. How are you?
Thank you, Scott. I'm good. Glad to be back. Thank you.
Thank you. So in 5 years, you were first designated. That's when you were here the first time. First designated a level one trauma center. I have to assume in 5 years, an awful lot has changed, hasn't it?
Things have changed quite a bit for us. Some of the big changes that we have seen, you know, I mean, probably obvious to everyone, is the growth in population in the county. You know, when I came here in 1991, there were 600,000 people in Palm Beach County. Now there's almost 1.5 million people. Right. And because of that, we have very, very busy on trauma, and our census has grown significantly. Along with that, another big change that has happened since I was here is that we renovated the trauma center. We renovated it by updating it. We made it very, very good to take care of our children, adults. And we also were mindful of, unfortunately, being ready for a mass casualty incident. such as an active shooter or anything of that nature.
So all of that, the growth in population, I don't think people understand that the growth in population puts enormous pressure on the infrastructure, nowhere more felt than in emergency services and critical emergency services, which would be, of course, what you do at Level One Trauma. How do you even staff for that? How do you gear up for that? How do you stay current? That's got to be a real. That's got to be a bear.
It's a constant training. It's constant updating. You know, we have to constantly be educating ourselves, and we have to keep updating the infrastructure. You know, we have to have more people, more employees, more nurses, more doctors to take care of people. So it's a constant daily. You know, you almost don't see it. You know, it's like a transition,
right?
And it starts happening. And if you look back 20 years ago, you go, oh, my God, that's where we were then. Look where we are now.
So we didn't talk about this before, but just before what you said, the future must be scary, too, given that, because the population isn't getting smaller. It's continuing to grow. It's also aging. Right? Our population here in this county is aging some, and the demands are only going to be greater, and the technology stress has to be amazing. How do you stay current?
So the aging is a good point. That's a good issue. And what happens is that we get different types of traumas. You know, because the population is aging now, you know, our number one trauma that comes in is people falling from ground level right. falls. You know, and with that comes a really serious injury, which is a traumatic brain injury. So we geared a lot for traumatic brain injuries now. Our ICU is geared for traumatic brain injury. You know, so we keep mindful of all these things, and that's how we change and we update.
So we're going to spend a lot of time on falls before the show is over. I use the statistic, I don't know if I'm accurate or not, I think I might have gotten it from you, that 50% of all emergency room admissions for people over the age of 65 actually are as a result of a fall. Is that pretty accurate?
That is pretty accurate, and that's 100% accurate definitely for trauma, yes.
Right.
And probably over 50% now of the trauma admissions are falls.
I think I mentioned to you on the phone earlier this morning that I'm pretty sensitive to that subject because I myself took a bad fall on Thanksgiving and broke my shoulder, and it was really just kind of a freak accident. And I guess that's probably true for most of the people who come through your front door.
It is, and it's not uncommon at all. It's very, very common. People don't realize it.
Right.
That's why there's so much emphasis now, you know, to make people train about falls, fall prevention, how to keep your house safe, you know, and how to actually the programs now for strength training and endurance training for exercises to help you prevent falls. So it's a big thing. It's a big thing out there by the American College of Surgeons and all kinds of medical organizations to try to prevent people from falling.
Yeah, and there is a lot that one can do. Are the result of – when I broke my shoulder, I knew I was in really, really bad shape. I did. There's no question about it. And as I know that you will agree and echo with, if you've fallen once, you're twice as likely to fall again. And I actually did take another fall. Sometimes the impact of a fall is not readily apparent to you. You might not know the result. It's a little bit like a car accident, right? You don't really know what's going on. Should you, if you sense anything, go to the emergency room?
Yeah, you know, now since we mentioned that 5 years ago, and what I said was, especially if you're taking blood thinners, that's really, really important. Because if you're taking blood thinners and you take a fall, that's not even a serious fall. You may not even pay attention to it. You may develop problems later on. So if you fall and you have blood thinners, even if you think you're okay, you should seek medical advice. Because there may be some certain very subtle changes that we could pick up that then will lead us to do a CT scan of the brain that will show that you actually suffer a traumatic brain injury, that if you keep taking that blood thinner, it's only going to get worse. So it is important to think that way, 100% for sure.
Again, we didn't prepare this, but as you say, it's just parenthetically and by conversation. I have a very, very good friend who I have a note to call today who also fell and broke his shoulder, but his shoulder is the least of his problems. He did incur a brain bleed, and I didn't realize how common it was until you just said that he incurred a brain bleed, and he is on blood thinners. I'm going to call him tomorrow and tell him that. I mean, that's really interesting. I want to go back because we'll come back to falls later. But you know, down here in South Florida, in particular, in the era of since Parkland, the fear of mass casualties is not alarmist. It's a real fear, right? It's a legitimate concern, and I have to imagine the preparation that you must go through can be extraordinary.
The way we look at it is not if, it's when it's going to happen. And because of that, since Parkland, even before Parkland, we have been training. We drill, and we drill, and we drill. We drill with law enforcement. We drill with the fire department. We drill with EMS. We drill within the hospital. We create scenarios. So we're constantly drilling in order to be able to see where our deficiencies are so we could fix them and be ready for mass casualties. So we actually reenact a mass casualty. And we do it on a routine basis. You know, the thing, if you remember the Pulse nightclub shooting in Orlando,
right?
They were very successful. And a lot of people did die, but a lot of people's lives were saved. And they were saved because Orlando Regional have been drilling and drilling and drilling. And a lot of us have learned from that situation and have taken that up. And that's what we're doing. We're constantly drilling for mass casualties.
Mass casualties don't necessarily have to be a Parkland-style shooting. There are other potential mass casualties, I assume. Plane crash, I think of, yes. Or boating accident.
A mass casualty is any situation that overwhelms your facility. Wow. So it depends on your facility. And remember, when there's a mass casualty, people are not going to go to the trauma center. They're going to go to the nearest hospital that's near them. You know, that's just the routine. If you're in a shooting and you got shot, you're not going to go to the nearest hospital. So it's important that not only trauma centers, but every hospital drill and get ready for a mass casualty, which could be any event that could overwhelm your system. Could be 5 patients, could be 10, could be 20. It depends on your facility.
With that in mind, how many people can St. Mary's Trauma Center handle in that kind of scenario?
We have, you know, and we try to tell ourselves that we could handle anything.
Right.
We have drilled for up to 50 to 100 casualties to be taken care of in a matter of hours.
Wow.
So we can, you know, and we mobilize a lot of people, a lot of resources. And we also, what we do is that we try to engage the other local hospitals. So in the situation that we get overwhelmed, then we could get the other players to jump in. But that's part of the drilling, exactly the question that you ask.
And I guess in many respects, we're blessed because we have a fairly large concentration of very fine hospitals not far from St. Mary's. I mean, Good Sam, Palm Beach Gardens, Jupiter,
exactly.
Exactly. But I'm not sure the answer to this, which is why I'm asking. Will the people on the scene make the determination as to the most seriously wounded, and the most seriously wounded will go to you, or doesn't work?
Unfortunately,
that way?
Doesn't play out that way. When there's a mass casualty, the first wave of people that you get are the walking wounded, the people that could get away. They get away and they flood the hospital. That's exactly
wow.
The problem.
Wow.
You get flooded with people that are not seriously injured, they're walking wounded. And the second wave, that they come by paramedics or by law enforcement, those are the ones that are really critically injured. So you have to be mindful of this, that your first people are not going to need you. And you have to be able to triage this quickly. So that's a really good question. It doesn't happen the way that a mass casualty is you throw normal every day out of the window. It's totally different. Nothing is routine. Everything's different.
And the coordination must be I guess who drives the bus here? Is it the police? Is it EMS? Is it fire? Is it
the
hospital?
Good question.
Right?
Very good question. The county has an incident command center. So there'll be an incident command center set up. And then there's an incident commander. And the incident commander, when they decide how to triage these patients. And remember, that's after the first wave of people that triage themselves. So the incident command center will be set up near the incident, and then they will disperse the patients to the hospitals.
So maybe an unfair question, and I apologize if it is. Do you live in fear or in preparation or a combination of both for these? Because nobody wants to see a mass casualty, and you don't ever want to prove that you were ahead of the curve or behind the curve. So,
you know, fear is to fear itself.
Right.
So in essence, because of the fear, we should prepare, to be prepared to face the fear. But yes, I mean, we prepare, so it's going to happen any day.
Right. So in keeping with that, I know, and I just think people would find it interesting, our president is here quite often. He's in the area very often. He spends a lot of time at Mar-a-Lago. You are the on-call trauma center, God forbid anything were to happen to the President of the United States or any of his visitors at that point, right?
That is correct, and we work closely together with the White House medical team for that.
It seems to me that most people don't fully grasp the concept of how much preparedness and preparation goes into the running of a trauma center.
It's very, very involved, very intricate. It's not only the work, but it's the preparation, the education. One of the things that I want to mention before we get off this topic also is the outreach. Teaching people in general.
Right.
Just like if you remember when the cardiologist taught everybody to do CPR because you could save lives, the same way we're teaching people to stop the bleed.
Right.
So most of the people in a mass casualty, like an active shooting, die before EMS could get there. So if you know how to do the equivalence of CPR, which is putting a tourniquet on, then you could save a life. So we have a campaign around the county where we're teaching people, normal people, how to stop the bleed. And you could go to stopthebleed.org, or even on Amazon, you could get the kit.
You know, I now that you say it, I know when we were before the show went on, I said, I know that I've heard about Stop the Bleed, but I didn't know where. And I actually did see it at a community outreach effort from somebody from the hospital, and I must have been at a networking thing. And the other thing I kind of laughed about, I guess it's not funny, but I flew back from Boise, Idaho yesterday to get here. And on our first flight, there was a troop of Boy Scouts there, and I said to my wife at the time, well, at least if anything happened, they could stop the bleeding, and I know how to do a tourniquet. But that's not really funny. That's really the most important. Learning how to do that is most critical in a traumatic event, which could be anything from a single car accident to some mass casualty event.
In the Boston Marathon incident, there were lives and extremities saved by tourniquets that were placed on people.
You know, I saw the movie, and I remember seeing that in the movie, too. It's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with, if you've been listening, you realize a wonderfully knowledgeable and important guest, Dr. Robert Borrego, who is the medical director of St. Mary's Level 1 Trauma Center. We have been talking about the extreme circumstances of mass casualty. We only touched briefly on some of the more common and mundane things that the trauma center confronts. We are blessed in Palm Beach County to have St. Mary's Trauma Center here, and I don't think most people understand just how important it is and how much work it goes into maintaining a Level 1 Trauma Center. I couldn't be happier that Dr. Borrego is here. If you have any guests for if you have any questions for Dr. Borrego or for myself, you can call us 1-877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition, and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're glad that you're with us. If you are listening on 95 or the Turnpike, we're glad that you're here on 95.9. You're in the Palm Beaches. If, of course, you're north of that, you're on 106.9. We couldn't be happier that you are tuning in. If you're a first-time listener, I'm glad that you found us. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents each week on Oh My God. Tonight we're talking about trauma, and we are fortunate to have a level one trauma center here in Palm Beach at St. Mary's, and the medical director of that facility is Dr. Robert Borrego, and he is here tonight talking to us about what he does, what the trauma center does, and why it's so important. Dr. Borrego, you know, one of the things that always interests me is how people end up at various facilities. You know, how, for example, is a decision made whether to go to St. Mary's or to go to Palm Beach Gardens or to go to Jupiter or to go to or any of the other hospitals in the area. Of course, as a trauma center, you would, by definition, I would think, get the most serious cases. But how is that decision made? Who makes it?
So it's the paramedics make the decision, but it's based on what we call a scorecard. They have a scorecard and the certain criteria based on the mechanism of the injury, for example, and the patient's vital signs and the physiology, and then they score it. You know, if they meet two or three of those criteria, then they activate it from the field as a trauma alert. And they have med come, and then they call the hospital, and they tell them, we come into your facility with a priority one, a priority two, or priority three trauma alert. So the medics actually make the call. Now, those criteria were developed in conjunction with, you know, the statewide trauma system, the American College of Surgeons, and EMS providers. So the criteria are very specific. So let's say that you have, if you fall from 10 feet alone, that's a red. If you fall from 10 feet and your heart rate is maintained above 100, that's another red. Two reds, one red makes you a trauma alert. A red and a blue will be if you fall from 10 feet and you're 55 years old, that's a red and a blue makes you a trauma alert. So they have these criteria that they use, and that's how they activate you to a trauma center versus a regular hospital.
And I know, for example, Palm Beach Gardens is often referred to as the heart hospital in the area. Obviously, St. Mary's is known as the stroke center. Is the decision made based on the diagnosis as well? If somebody has an apparent heart attack, are they more likely to go to Palm Beach Gardens and not the trauma center? But if somebody is thought of to have a stroke, are they more likely to go to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
For a heart attack, it's a clear-cut issue because it's chest pain and other symptoms that definitely is a heart attack. A stroke and trauma gets very, very, you know, shady because when you have a stroke, you fall. And when you fall, you hit your head. So if you have a change of mental status and a laceration from falling, no one knows if it's a trauma, the fall that caused the laceration, and the laceration caused a stroke, or the stroke caused the fall. So in that situation, it's kind of shady, but it's lucky for us because the same hospital is the trauma center and the comprehensive stroke center.
Right.
So if you have a stroke or a trauma, you'll end up at the right place regardless.
Right. And I think it's interesting because I think most of my audience has no idea which hospital specializes in which discipline. And so having EMS make that decision, paramedics, really can help. And I know some people always say, no, I don't want to go there. I want to go here. And paramedics say, no, you're going where I'm taking you.
Yeah, and that happens quite a bit too. Yeah.
So do most people come through the trauma center? Well, I know we've already talked about falls, and we're going to talk more about falls as the show continues. Is it accident-driven? Are they serious accidents? Are they fire-related? Are they, in fact, strokes, gunshots? You know, there's all sorts of things.
So right? There's two big categories of trauma, blunt and penetrating. Blunt is anything, any external force that's not sharp. Penetrating is anything that's a sharp, like a stab wound, a gunshot wound, an impalement. So those two big categories, blunt and penetrating, and then those have subdivisions. So for blunt, it could be like a traumatic brain injury, multiple rib fractures from a car crash, from a work-related accident, from falling from a height, and then penetrating could be gunshots, stab wounds, or impalements. So those are the categorized, and those are the classes of traumas.
Boy, that is fascinating. I have so many questions about that. I really do. Most people think that that the fire department is there only for fires, and yet very few of their calls are in fact fire related. I think the percentage is 1 out of 8 or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of drug overdose and other kinds of emergencies. So you must work closely with all of the police, fire, EMS on the determination of which cases should go to you. And
absolutely, yes. Law enforcement, fire department, and paramedics, they're the ones that are bringing patients to all the hospitals. Based on what we spoke about, be it a stroke, be it a heart attack, be it intoxication, a burn, a fire. Yeah, the medics, fire department does a lot more than just fire. They basically are like paramedics.
Yeah, which I find amazingly fascinating. It's just a quick question before we go to break. You guys must be on call and you got to be getting called all the time. How do you stay fresh?
So that's a really good question. We have a tier system. We have all the time in the hospital. Well, for the whole trauma system, there's all kinds of specialists in the hospital where you don't get at a regular hospital. There's a trauma surgeon always has to be in-house. So the first primary call trauma surgeon sleeps in the hospital, stays there 24 hours. And then there's a backup trauma surgeon also that's at home but gets called in if there's a difficult case or multiple cases. In the hospital, there's an anesthesiologist also 24/7. There's an emergency room physician 24/7 also. And there's a, in our hospital, because we're high-risk OB, there's an obstetrician in the hospital 24/7. And there's also an internal medicine doctor 24/7. So in that, it's a special place that has a comprehensive stroke center, high-risk OB, a NICU, and a trauma center, because you have all these specialists 24/7, 365, like Walmart. We're there all the time.
It's amazing. We're going to come back and talk more about that. If you're just tuning in, I'm here tonight with Dr. Robert Borrego. Dr. Borrego is the medical director of St. Mary's Trauma Center. He has been there for 29 years, so he kind of knows his way around. Trauma is something you hope you never need, but if you do, you're glad that you have. And we are blessed to have Dr. Borrego and his team at St. Mary's. We're going to talk more about St. Mary's. We're going to talk about a whole host of interesting things, including more on falls, and we're going to talk about shark bites and some other interesting things if you're interested, because I just found out tonight Dr. Borrego is also known as the shark doctor. We're going to talk about that. So if you have any questions for Dr. Borrego or for myself, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were stationed might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope that you've been listening since the beginning, but if not, you're missing a great show with Dr. Robert Borrego, the medical director of St. Mary's Trauma Center. Right before the break, Dr. Borrego talked about all of the staff, all the physician staff that is on site at St. Mary's at the because of its level one trauma center. And we didn't really talk about the benefit. We kind of glossed over that. But there are some pretty well-known cases. I know you, Dr. Borrego, talked about OBGYN and the NICU, and most people who are tennis fans will know that Serena Williams went there right after she gave birth. That's really kind of an underappreciated benefit of having the trauma center here. Am I right?
That is correct, Scott. The state, to be at level one trauma center, is a state standard that you have to meet to have all those physicians available immediately. But because of that, it's a benefit to the community. The hospital, you know, I mean, obviously it's costly to the hospital, but they're having all these doctors available for trauma. If you come in for something else, like, you know, an appendicitis, or if you, your shoulder that got separated, you have the physicians there already available. So, and in a lot of situations, your care will be more expeditious than if you went to a hospital that didn't have all those doctors already there. So that's a nice fringe benefit of being a trauma center.
And as I said to you during the break, I can speak with authority about that. And it wasn't because nobody cared, but I broke my shoulder on Thanksgiving Day in Wellington, and I went to Wellington Hospital. They couldn't have been nicer, but there was no physician on staff. He was on call, but not on staff and not on site. And it was an impact. You know, I still want to get to four. I have so much to ask you. But one of the things I want to talk about is I have no doubt that an awful lot of people show up at the trauma center through car accidents, and most of those car accidents are as a result of texting and driving. You have to be in wild support about the new law.
Absolutely. There has been a huge increase in serious accidents. All traumas are given a severity score. It's called an ISS, injury severity score. And the injury severity score after texting for car crashes has gone up significantly. In other words, Not only are there more crashes, but they're more significant because in a lot of these crashes, the brakes were never applied. So because the people don't even know, they're looking down, they're texting, and these are high-speed, no-braking accidents. So the injury severity after texting is real high, and the injuries are really severe.
So I have admittedly never heard that the severity of the injuries because of texting and driving are so much more severe because the brakes have never been applied. That makes so much sense when you say
that's
it.
That's exactly what happens.
I never realized
that's exactly what happens. People are not paying attention, looking down, and all of a sudden they come to a sudden stop because they hit something.
So I know this is probably something you can't answer, and it may be unfair. There's all these new safety devices built into all of the automobiles today. All these cars are purportedly much safer. But if we're hitting things at a higher speed and doing more and more damage, as good as they are, they're not preventing them from getting to you, are they?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the automobile industry has done a really good job with that. And there are a lot of improvements with the side impacts, you know, the side impact bags and all kinds of other things. But the speed does play a big role still in it, you know. Motorcycle accidents are still deadliest could ever be because there's very little to protect you in a motorcycle. And the other big one that you see in texting incidents is people getting hit by cars. You know, hitting somebody that's crossing the street because you're texting, it doesn't matter how many improvements there are to the automobile, it's hitting a person or somebody on a bicycle.
That's true, right.
So still a lot of issues, yes, to be solved, a lot of problems.
And while Uber can help people with drunk driving, it can't help people have their heads in their laps texting. So it's that's just amazing to me. Do you have a busier time of the day or is seasonal? I'm just curious.
Palm Beach is a seasonal town. We get busier in the winter time. You know, all the snowbirds are here. So busiest months are from November to like February, March. Then it kind of slows down a little. As far as the time of the day, it varies, but it seems that between like 3 in the afternoon to around midnight, 1 o'clock is the busiest time. And then it kind of lowers down on each side of those hours. And then as far as the days of the week, Saturdays are always real, real busy. The weekends are busy. And believe it or not, Mondays are almost always a very busy day also.
Do we have any reason why, or is that just
Mondays? I could figure out the weekend. It makes sense, right. You know. But Mondays, I don't know, maybe something psychological in there. Mondays always a bad day.
Heart attack.
People getting back to work. Who knows?
Depressed.
More research needs to be done on Mondays.
If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Robert Borrego, who is the medical director of St. Mary's Trauma Center. St. Mary's Trauma Center is a level one trauma center. They have enormous capacity to do amazing things in the case of serious accidents. We've been talking about all sorts of things. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about a whole host of things, including spending some more time on falls. We're going to talk about sharks. I promise to talk about sharks. I also am going to talk about their educational outreach, why it's so important, and perhaps we'll revisit some of the mass casualty story that we didn't cover. But if you have any questions for Dr. Borrego or for myself, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Eldercare 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Eldercare 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Eldercare 360 part of your team. Eldercare 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Here tonight with Dr. Robert Borrego from St. Mary's Level 1 Trauma Center. He is the medical director, and I'm thrilled to have him here. He was here 5 years ago. And I don't know why it took me so long to have him back, but I corrected the error of my ways. You know, one of the things that we talked about, Dr. Borrego, was how prevalent falls are, how serious falls are, how dangerous falls are, and how much time you spend on people who fall. Is there any particular advice? I mean, I've done shows on fall prevention, but you must see an awful lot of some kind of unavoidable, some silly, but any words of wisdom for us?
The most common type of falls, believe it or not, is from ground level. You know, we classify them as mechanical falls. If you trip and fall, for example, on a rug or something like that, or if you have a syncopal episode, if you get dizzy for whatever reason and you fall. So this is two types. But those ground level falls are the most common. And it happens really frequently in seniors. And there's a couple of factors involved in that. You know, seniors, as you know, are taking medications, and some medications will make you prone to falling. Seniors also have musculoskeletal problems. You know, they have limping, they have arthritis, and the hips are hurting, and it's just harder to get around. So you have to take all these things into consideration in order to prevent these issues of falling. You have to gear your house, you know, perfectly. Like the way from the bedroom to the bathroom is one of the most likely places people are going to fall. People get up at night, older guys, they have to go to the bathroom frequently. And so they trip over a rug or an obstacle. So all those things could be fixed. The lighting has to be perfect. You should not be walking around in a dark house. And then it is suggested that even if you're senior, you could do things to improve your mobility with exercising. You know, exercising for strength and for mobility, you know, to loosen up and strengthen your muscles. All those things will help you to prevent falls. And be very, very, very careful if you're taking blood thinners and not having a fall. And some of the falls, unfortunately, you know, I mean, we all like to have a glass of wine. Some of the time the wine and the alcohol and the medications don't mix. And we see a lot of people coming out of dinner at a restaurant. You know, they're trying to get into the car, and they get dizzy and fall and hit their heads. And the morbidity is significantly, the mortality rate since 2001, from 2000 to 2016, the mortality rate for falls has gone up 20-fold.
20-fold?
20-fold.
Wow.
So the reasons for that is because, number one, we're living longer. But number two, also, there's a lot of people out there on blood thinners. They're very, very commonly used. There's a lot of stroke, and blood thinners do help. If you have a stroke or a cardiac event, you have to be on blood thinners. But they don't help you if you fall. So preventing falls is a big thing. That's one of our big outreach is to try to help people prevent falls.
And it's so important. And while you... accidents happen, you know. When I fell and broke my shoulder, that I was playing ball with my grandkids. That wasn't careless. I mean, it may have been stupid at my age to play ball with my grandkids, but it wasn't, you know, kind of the throw rug that shouldn't have been there, or the cluster or clutter that prevented me from getting to the bathroom or trying to get somewhere at night. So accidents do happen, but so much of it is preventable, mm-hmm. if you really think about it. And obviously you gave really big tips that are critically important. But as we said earlier, and the audience needs to understand this, is that 50% of all admissions to emergency rooms for people over the age of 65 are as a result of fall. And it's really, really...
That is correct.
It's really, 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 really dangerous. You know, one of the things that I know that you're incredibly passionate about is community outreach, training, keeping the message alive. You really want to prevent people from ever having to meet you. And there's a lot of community outreach. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And if people have a group or something that they're interested in getting some community outreach, I know that you're interested in doing that. How might people find out more information?
So, yes, Scott, we have a big system for education and community outreach. We reach out to schools because, if you're going to start preventing trauma, the young is where to start. So a lot of the efforts go into schools. We have one that's called, for example, prom nights. We recreate an accident like in the football field of a school. The fire department and the paramedics actually will bring a car and they'll crash it. And they have dummies in to show the kids, what happens during after the prom. And it's so common.
It is.
It's sad. Same thing happens after graduation. A lot of kids, 16, they get their brand new car and they crash it because they don't really know. So we try to educate on all those things. Safe crossing the street, people getting hit. Believe it or not, Florida is the number one state in the United States for people being hit by cars. And South Florida is the number one place in Florida. So we're way up there for people getting hit by cars. And most of them is just that people don't know how to cross the street. So we educate people on how to cross the street. We do all kinds of education. We go out to remote areas like Belgrade, Pahokee, like Sahatchie, all these areas. And we educate the people on just basic stuff that they don't know.
Right.
And it helps a lot. I think that the education does help. Very, very, very busy educating all the time. We go to nursing homes also. We give talks, lectures at the nursing homes, at schools. And if anyone has wants to know more about education and outreach, they could call our trauma center. Call 561-840-6013. And the trauma staff will be happy to help you. We have brochures, we have packages, we have all kinds of educational activities and materials.
That's amazing. Give the number again if anybody's interested.
The number is 561-840-6013.
So if you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. If you're a first-time listener, welcome. If you're a regular, we're glad that you stay with us. Tonight we've been speaking with Dr. Robert Borrego, and we've been talking about St. Mary's Level 1 Trauma Center. It's a most important subject. It is an asset and a resource in our community, vastly misunderstood and underrated, but so, so incredibly important should you ever need it. It is a resource that people just don't appreciate until, unfortunately, they may need some. So if you missed the show and now you're sorry you have because I just yelled at you, the good news for you is that you can listen because we podcast the show and we will be up and running with the podcast tomorrow. All you have to do is search OMG I'm Getting. Up we will pop. It'll be there probably by noon tomorrow, if not sooner. Of course, if you're not a podcaster, not all of you are, we also put it up on my website, which is palmbeach.comfortcare.com. ComfortCare, ComfortCare.com. Don't put a T in there as hard as you want. All right, we're not Comfort Care, we're Comfort Care. Don't put a T in there. Palmbeach.comfortcare.com. Of course, if you love to listen to us, but you're not always near a radio, you are always near your smartphone. And that's okay because there's an app for this. It's called TuneIn Radio. And you can listen wherever you are. Download the app on any platform. Set the reminder for 6 o'clock on Monday nights. WSVU, those are our call letters. And up we will pop. And of course, we simulcast locally, nationally, around the world, www.trueoldiesfla.com, trueoldiesfla.com. So you can, there's no excuse not to listen to us. So we're always available, and we're glad that you're with us. And if you miss a show, you really haven't because you can find us. Next week, I have two very special guests from the Department of Consumer Affairs who are going to be here. We're going to talk about the caregiver ordinance, which I'm proud of having helped write the original ordinance myself. I was one of only two non-government people involved in the writing of that ordinance, which requires licensure for home health aides that are not CNA levels or above. But the Department of Consumer Affairs does a whole host more than that. They require licensure for Uber drivers. They require licensure and monitor adult entertainers. And you might say, well, that's not all that interesting. Although we are third in the country in sex trafficking, and that was one of the places where it was very prevalent. And they now have put a significant dent in that operation through the licensure of adult dancers and such. So, but they do other things. I mean, they help with trouble with your cable company. The Department of Consumer Affairs is another one of those resources, vastly misunderstood, vastly unappreciated, and incredibly necessary. And so I'm going to have two people here next week on that subject. And in 2 weeks, Nicole Reynolds from Saylor, S-A-Y-L-O-R-P-T, is going to be here. She's going to talk about LSVT, which is a Parkinson's-related physical therapy program of major importance. I'm really interested in learning more about that, as I don't know much about LVST, but I'm excited to hear more about it. And Nicole's going to be here in 2 weeks, so we have a lot to talk about. In the few minutes I have left, I mean, one of the things that interests me with Dr. Borrego, he is known as the shark doctor, and we hear a lot about sharks in South Florida. Do you ever get shark cases? And,
oh, yes, we do.
Do you?
Oh, yes, we do.
And actually, I know we're laughing a little bit about it, but it's really serious, right? I mean, and they can be very serious.
No, for sure. We get really, really serious injuries from sharks. We have become almost like a center that's known for shark being victims. What happened was, this was maybe about 10 years ago or so, we had a toddler, 3 or 4 year old kid, that was bitten really badly on the beach by a black tip, and had some significant injuries, and he survived it. But later on, he was in the hospital for a month, if not more, because his wound got infected. A lot of really, really serious infection. And the father asked me, what kind of bacteria are in the shark's mouth? And I really didn't know.
Right.
But you know what, sir? I don't know, but I'll look it up for you. And when I went to look it up, there was nothing in the literature. There were like two papers from a long, long time ago, nothing really reported. So I said, hey, you know, this is like the lab for us. There's a lot of sharks here. I'm interested in sharks. So I went out. I caught a whole bunch of sharks. You know, we released them alive, didn't harm the sharks. But we swabbed it. We cultured their mouth. And then we grew the bacteria in the lab, and then we figured out what antibiotics for what type of sharks, what type of bites, and we published a couple of papers out of it. And the publications went really, really well, and because of that, we are now known, and people from the Bahamas send me patients, from up north send me patients. So we see quite a number of patients with shark bites.
That's amazing. You know, the ocean is so interesting. I mentioned, my audience knows, but you may, I took a 85-day cruise around the world. The ocean is vast. It has a lot of things in there. It's beautiful. Of course, there's a lot of great fish, but there's also some danger lurking in there, and so it's important to know. I know I was listening this morning about flesh-eating bacteria, and I guess It's kind of similar in each of that. You're a wonderful guest. I can't thank you. I mean, you're a busy man. For you to take the time to come here and help the audience understand all about trauma is really very gracious of you, and I appreciate your time, and I hope that I won't wait 5 years next time to have you back. But I can't thank you enough for being here, and I truly appreciate the information you gave out to our audience.
Well, it's my pleasure, Scott.
Yeah.
I enjoy your show. It's very stimulating, and I really love the questions.
Yeah, well, it's really my pleasure to have you here. Level 1 Trauma Center at St. Mary's Hospital. Most people don't appreciate the level of expertise that is available at St. Mary's. And when you're in serious trouble, that is kind of the place to go. And it's not often given the appreciation it deserves. There are some world-class physicians there, yourself included, of course, but throughout the hospital staff, and a level 1 trauma center, a trauma center that is responsible, God forbid they ever need to take care of the President of the United States, tells you all you need to know about what is available at at St. Mary's. So, yes, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're here every Monday night talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We're on 95.9 in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. Next week, we have this wonderful show with the Department of Consumer Affairs, helping you understand that. We always welcome your input. We always give the number out for you to call. But if you have any questions after the show, you can reach the station, and they will get those questions to me. Every Monday night, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, live at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Stay tuned because there's a great sports show right after this. But until then, till next week, we'll see you at Dr. Borrego. Thank you again. Have a good night, everybody. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Have a great week. Stay safe, stay dry, stay out of the storm. Good night, all.